We'd like to say good morning once again to all of you who are present here this morning, this beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day morning, a day that God has blessed us to see, and certainly it is a day that we won't ever see again, but we hope, trust, and pray that it goes down in God's great record-keeping book that we have been faithful today, one day at a time, amen. And we thank the Lord that he has blessed us to be here. It's good to see each and every one of you. It's always good to see our brothers and our sisters in Christ, our friends and family. I was glad to see my brother and his family walk in the door, amen. It's always good to see them and my mom. It's always good to see those of you who are visiting with us. We want you to know that you are indeed our honored guests. Yes, it's always a privilege to have you in our presence, and we hope that you will come back again, again, and again. And we make no bones about it. If you live in this area, we would love for you to be a member of this congregation. Amen. If you live afar, there's a Church of Christ near you. Amen. Amen. So we just appreciate your presence, and we hope that you will enjoy yourself today. This morning, we want to take a look at an old familiar passage of Scripture, one that I find very challenging as a preacher, one I find where the Lord personally had to deal with some issues in the life of one of his disciples. Probably one of our favorite characters in the Bible, the Apostle Peter. Peter was one of those fellows who had a little fire in him. He has a history of putting his foot in his mouth. But yet one of the things that I can appreciate about this story is that it doesn't matter how much you slip up, God can fix you up. God can help you out, and God can make you look good, amen. It was the Apostle Peter who had the privilege of preaching the first gospel sermon. This tells me that God can use anybody. Doesn't matter how bad you were. Doesn't matter if you're struggling right now, but God is able to use you in his own way. The Bible says in our text for today, "Now when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?' He said unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' And he said unto him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again the second time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' He saith unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He saith unto him, 'Feed my sheep.' He saith unto him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, 'Lovest thou me?' And he said unto him, 'Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not.' This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, 'Follow me.' Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, 'Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?' Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, what shall this man do?" Jesus said unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Thou follow thou me." Then went this saying abroad among the disciples, or the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, "He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" This is that disciple which testify of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there were also many other things which Jesus did, which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. As I look at this particular chapter, as I ponder over these words, I can't help but to appreciate the fact that John the Beloved, the one who is mentioned in the text who leaned on the Lord Jesus' breast, the one, if you remember, in Acts chapter 3 through 5, buddies with Peter. They were a part of the inner circle. Remember Peter, James, and John. There were things that they experienced that drew them close together. And John writes about his friend. It would seem that it probably would have been appropriate to close out in chapter 20 to be able to talk about Thomas and his lack of faith, and to show how that when you put your trust in Jesus, that everything will be all right. But I'm glad he kept on writing a little further, because there are several things that I think that John wants the readers to understand before he closes out this gospel. This gospel that was not called a synoptic gospel, where John actually wrote and referred to some incidents that maybe the other three did not. But yet he wanted them to understand that Peter had been restored. Peter, one of the leaders of the apostles, who had made what we call some boo-boos, who had gone astray because the devil got in him. He did not want to put the pen down without letting us know that Peter had been restored. Then he also wanted them to understand and to refute this rumor, if you will, that he was going to live forever. Jesus did not say that John was going to live forever. And Peter, somehow or another, was concerned about John. You read the text. "Lord, what about this disciple?" Jesus was probably looking at him saying, "Well, what about him? What you and I are talking about is between you and me. And what I have in store for John is none of your business. You just be concerned about your relationship to me and your duties in the kingdom of God." And then he wants him to understand something about the Spirit of God. And he wants him to understand about how Jesus shows up unannounced. Because the Bible indicated around verse number 14 that this was the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples. John wants them to understand Jesus may come at any time. And you want to position yourself and be in the right place and in the right spirit or the right frame of mind when Jesus shows up. He showed up the first time and Thomas wasn't in worship. 8 days later, he showed up again. And then they went off fishing and lollygagging down at the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus shows up again unannounced. And you remember Peter was cutting up in the boat. Had on his skimpies, the Bible says. He heard it was the Lord and dived in trying to hide himself in the water. But Jesus showed up anyhow. Oh, church, you got to be ready when Jesus shows up. But the Bible says in our lesson that Jesus began to ask him some questions. There are several things that I notice in this chapter that I want to share. First of all, I want to point out how the Lord recalled Peter's failure. And secondly, I want to show how the Lord rekindled Peter's fervor. And then finally, how the Lord reshaped Peter's future. There are several things that I notice in this particular chapter that might benefit us all. Because even though this was staged by Jesus to help Peter, Peter who was the great apostle, Peter who probably had the most influence, Peter who all of a sudden got tired of waiting and started thinking about his business that he left. In Matthew 27, it said, Lord, we have forsaken all to follow thee. And now Jesus is dead. What are we still waiting around for? In the chapter, the Bible says, I go fishing. And you can tell the influence that he had because the disciple says, we go with thee. And they all went back down to the Sea of Galilee. Went back and fired up the motor on the boat. Got the nets out, Brother Lister. Get back in business. But the Bible says they fished all night, but they caught nothing. Things didn't start happening for them until Jesus showed up. Amen, somebody. They were unsuccessful. You know, this is interesting. This is not my preaching point, but, you know, when you leave that which you left to come to Jesus, and when you try to go back, you're not going to be successful. You know why? Because you know better now. You won't feel comfortable back over there. Amen, somebody. Maybe that's another preaching lesson. But Jesus went down there where he found him in the first place. And he had to recall Peter and remind Peter. Matter of fact, he called him by his old name, Simon. Because remember that some 20 chapters ago in John chapter 1, when he first met Peter, he changed his name. He said, you're going to be called what? Cephas. The Bible says he loved him immediately when he laid eyes on him. He almost had a smile. Oh, Peter. Oh, man, you're going to do great things for the kingdom of God. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord can look at us and say, you know what? You're going to be all right. I know you got some stuff you're going through. I know there's a mess right now. I know you're rough around the edges. I know you got an attitude problem. I know all that is in your makeup, and you're going to do some stuff that's going to embarrass me. You're going to shame the church. But I'm going to use you, son. Now, 20 chapters ago, Jesus showed how much he loved him. And in the text, now Jesus wants to know, do you love me? Now I have shown you how much I love you. I died for you, Peter. Now I want to know, do you love me? And every once in a while, we need, like Peter, be shooken up to see if we really love the Lord. This morning, for a short moment, I want to talk to you from the subject, are you sure you love Jesus? Are you sure you love Jesus? Remember, John wrote in John 15, 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. Those are the words of Jesus. See, love always has action to it. Love should be more than just mere words. Many times we give the Lord lip service. If someone was to ask us, do you love Jesus? You say, yes, I love Jesus. Matter of fact, somebody wrote a song about it. I remember singing some years ago. I thought about Brother Lister because I think we use him. You know, when you sing that song, do you love Jesus? Are you sure you love Jesus? Oh, Lister, do you love Jesus? Remember that one? And he responds, oh, yes, I love Jesus. I said, are you sure you love Jesus? He said, yes, I'm sure I love Jesus. Now tell us why you love Jesus. This is why I love Jesus, because he first loved me. You remember the song we used to sing as kids, designed to help us see ourselves? And here the Lord asked Peter, the leader of the apostles, Simon, do you love me? Yeah, I love you, Lord. He said, well, feed my lambs. And then the Bible says he asked him again, Simon, do you love me? He said, yes, I love you, Lord. He said, well, feed my sheep. Then he asked him the third time. By this time, he's wondering, why is these questions coming towards me? When are you going to start asking the rest of them? Well, maybe it's going to rest of them didn't mess up. Like you messed up. You see, you can recall, if you go back through scriptures, times when Peter had messed up. And see, when Peter messes up, it affects all those who look up to him. In Matthew chapter 14, they were out on the boat. And the Bible says, Peter, being bold, wanted to step out and walk on water. Took his eyes off of Jesus. He was looking at the boisterous wind. And the Bible says he began to sink. Jesus says, where's your faith? Why are you doubting? In other words, see, when your faith is weak, it weakens those that are around you. Because whether you realize it or not, you are a man of influence. You remember, he said in Luke chapter 22, he said, you know, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. That he might sift you as wheat. You know, he wants you because you're the leader. And if he get you, he get all the rest. He said, but when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. See, when your faith is weak, everybody's faith going to be weak. So you remember that, don't you? Sometimes you got to recall some stuff so that we can move on. But the Lord recalls his failure. In Mark chapter 14, verse 27 to 31, Peter had a problem with bragging and boasting. You remember that? Lord, I'll never deny thee. All others might forsake thee, but I would never. But you remember that? Talking that talk. Sometimes folk always running their mouths. And when things get thick or things get tough, they be the first ones to quit. You remember in Mark chapter 14, verse 32 to 42, where he led them out to Gethsemane, asked them to stay watch. They're all over there slumbering, slobbering, and sleeping. Lord came back the second time and said, get up, wake up. Can't y'all just stay awake for an hour? And he went back, came up, they sleep again. Peter probably snoring the loudest. Because they tell me preachers snore. Has something to do with the throat, you know. Came back the third time, sleep again. And he rebukes them for sleeping and not staying watch, because that's the commandment that he gave. When we get down in Mark 14, 43 to 44, Judas shows up with his band of men. Peter wakes up, gets up, whips out his sword, and starts swinging. Amen, somebody. Amen. He was the sword bearer. Sometimes you find out who you really are when your back is up against a wall and you reach in your pocket and you pull out your switchblade. And you go to swinging on folks. The old man come up out of you. Jesus had to slow him down. As the young folks said, slow his roll. And he had to put your sword up. Those who live by it would die by it. You remember that? Jesus picked the man's ear up,
put the man's ear back on his head. This is not the way we do things around here. We don't cut up on folk and beat up. That's not what we do around here. We heal and help folk.
But he being the leader should have known better, but he didn't. He was sleeping on and woke up swinging a sword. You remember? In Luke chapter 22, verse number 54, the Bible says he followed afar off. It was John who was the one who leaned upon his breast. Remember, John was the one with the sisters who actually went to the cross where Jesus was hanging on. All the rest of the men had ran and gone and fled. And Peter was following afar off, not wanting to be too closely associated with righteousness. Because if it is led to believe that he's one of them, he might be persecuted as well. You remember the Bible says he followed afar off. Verse number 55 of Luke 22, the Bible says he sat with the unbelievers, down a woman itself with the fire, listening to the plans about how they're going to crucify the Lord, talking bad about Jesus and things of that nature. And I'm not here to say that he was in the conversation throwing anything in, but we do know that when they accused him of being a disciple, he denied three times. So ironically, we see Jesus showing up three times. We find Peter denying the Lord three times. And now we find the Lord asking him three times, do you love me? I hear what you're saying, but I'm watching what you're doing. And what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing don't match up. You ever seen that? I hear you saying this. You know, that's why we say, let me put my glasses on so I can see the words coming out your mouth. Yeah. You have old folks who say that, right? Because evidently, you don't see what you're saying. Come on, preacher. Every once in a while, as disciples of Christ, we talk that spiritual talk, but we don't walk the spiritual walk. Jesus is not as concerned about what you say as opposed to what you do. You don't have to say, I love you, Lord. Lord, you know I love you. I love you, Lord. Lord, I love you, Lord. I'll do anything for you, Lord. But that's a sign of cheating the hall. Well, I don't know about that. There's some offering coming about. Oh, well, no, I can't do that. That's some work need to be done. Well, don't count me in. Jesus is not as concerned about what you say as opposed to what you do. When you do nothing, you tell the Lord, I don't love you. I hear you, Peter, saying, Lord, you know I love you. I'm insulted that you asked me three times. Well, if anybody ought to be insulted around here, I ought to be insulted. You denied me three times. After I told you, you was going to do it. I told you while you were bragging about I'll never forsake. He said, look, now, look. Now, you said earlier, or later, rather, Lord, you know all things. That's true. So I know you're going to deny me three times. Now, in John's account, John refers to it as a denial, if we were to go back to the previous chapters where we find him in chapter 18 denying him. John puts it nicely, maybe because he was his friend, but he says, I am not, in verse number 17, I am not. In verse number 25, rather. And in 27, he denied it again. So, but Matthew says he denied him, he swore, and cursed. Now you're talking about something deep here. This goes beyond just saying, no, I'm not a part of that church. He's saying, no, I'm not a part of that church. To cursing, I swear I'm not a part of that church. I know what's really in you, Peter. You need to humble yourself. All it takes is a little girl to come along and mess your faith all up. The little maiden came along and started talking. All it takes is a group of soldiers to come along and you start lying.
All it takes is somebody to come along and push the right button and you start cursing. I know what's really in you, Peter. See, Jesus was trying to help these disciples. In this chapter, in my estimation, to be three things at least. He opens up this chapter in verses 1 through 8, talking about the importance of being a fisherman. Now, the reason I called you guys, you were down there fishing at the Sea of Galilee, because when I called you in Matthew 3, I called you to be fishers of men. Because he makes some references two things that I noticed as I looked at this thing here, because they were fishing all night. They weren't catching anything. Jesus showed up. He blessed them with abundance of fish. Now for a fisherman to catch fish. See, now he goes back to Luke chapter 5 when they were fishing all night and Jesus showed up. You remember the story. When he first met these guys and told them, launch out into the deep. And they say, well, look, we've been fishing all night. We experts at this, Lord. He said, well, no, go and fish. Launch out into the deep. They said, well, at thy word, we will do it. They went out there and they caught so many fish that they called James and John over in their boats. And both boats had the net and both boats were tipping over because there were so many fish. Well, we see a recap now in John, in John chapter 21, where Jesus blessed them with so many fish. And see, when a fisherman catches a whole lot of fish, I think he was testing Peter to show Peter, first of all, you can't be successful without me. Secondly, I want to know how much you love me. Because the first question he had, do you love me more than these? He only asked him that one time. Most scholars believe he's referring to the disciples. I think in application, we can apply it to a number of things. Now, first of all, you say, well, look, discipleship over. I'm going back to my business. I'm going to be successful. I done wasted 3 years messing with Jesus. I done put my nets down. I done locked my boats up, and I've been following Jesus. Jesus dead. He gone. Look, I'm going back to my business. Then all of a sudden, I catch all these fish, and his adrenaline is running. Man, we could be making some money off these fish. Yeah. And Jesus probably saying, do you love me more than these fish? Yeah. Now you can fill in the gap. Do you love me more than making money? Amen. Do you love me more than your occupation? Yeah. And then the second these was all these disciples here. Do you love me more than them? Do you love me more than your family? Do you love me more than your friends? Because remember that Jesus already taught them lessons on this. In Matthew chapter 10, he said, if you love your mother, love your father, love your sister, love your brother, love your daughter, love your son, love your wife, love your husband more than me, you're not worthy. Y'all looking at me like that's not in the Bible. Do you love me more than these? Well, that's a tough one, Brother Goodman, and I don't know where it's tough for you. Amen. And you're going to have some problems in the area of serving Jesus. Because Jesus demands first place in your life. Am I more important to you than these? And I can say important to whatever he's pointing to. We need to call it what it is. Peter, I can't help you if you won't let me. Anybody ever been to a psychiatrist? Don't raise your hand. Just maybe pat your toes. Because sometimes we think. Their job is to help you understand, to reach down in your innerness. And help you see, understand some stuff about yourself. So you can deal with stuff that you've been suppressed with and holding on to for years. They're only trying to bring that junk out so you can deal with it. So, because some stuff we don't want to talk about. Some stuff we don't want to face. Some stuff we just live with. And sometimes we are miserable people because we don't have nobody that can bring it out of us. So normally we go to a stranger because they won't prejudge us. They don't know us. They just ask us questions and make assumptions or a decision based upon what you are throwing on the table. Jesus said, look, if you're going to be used, if I'm going to reshape your future, first of all, we got to recall the past. We got to deal with the stuff that's been messing you up all these years. Because you can't keep doing the same old stuff. You can't keep pretending you love me in front of my face and behind my back denying me. We got to deal with that, Peter. We can't move on until we deal with this thing. Because I've called you to be a fisherman. It's your job to be a fisherman. And you won't be successful at fishing if you don't have a genuine relationship with me. You can't fake being a fisherman. Amen? Because you already done toiled all night long and you caught nothing. And if I wouldn't have showed up in your life, you wouldn't have these fish now. So he was trying to teach them in verse 1 through 8 to be fishermen. And then he moves on to the second thing that he wants them to understand in verse 9 on down to 18. He wants them to understand something about being shepherds. Because as apostles, it's your job to shepherd folk. Now, how in the world are you going to help other folk if you are struggling with some stuff? If you're struggling with doubt, how are you going to help solidify and fortify their faith? If you're struggling with doubt, you can't be an effective shepherd. You got to learn how to love folk. I've already shown you all that I love you. I done died on the cross of Calvary for you guys. And look at y'all. Y'all are fishing somewhere. And when Jesus comes back, Jesus began to ask questions. He didn't rebuke him. He just asked him some questions. That's deep, isn't it? The Bible says, one of these verses, the Bible says in verse number 9, that when they came to land, they saw a fire and some coals on it. Fish were laying on. There was some bread. There was some fish sandwiches waiting for them. That's what pastors do. That's what shepherds do. That even though people don't treat you right, you keep on loving them anyhow. Because we all, like sheep, have gone astray. And a shepherd's job is to look after the sheep. Sheep, one book say, they smell like sheep. Sometimes they don't act right. But see, if a shepherd or a leader is struggling with being a Christian, Paul tells the Christians in Romans chapter 12, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. He don't got past all that. He's trying to say, look, you're not even trying to be a good Christian and you want to be a shepherd? I'm the good shepherd. Let me show you how shepherds operate. And he started fixing fish and bread. And after they came aboard, Jesus didn't criticize them or beat them up. Jesus fed them fish and started asking questions. Let me start at the top with Peter. Because if Peter wouldn't have did this, none of these guys would be out here fishing anyway. It was Peter's idea to lead these men back to the Sea of Galilee. Let me get Peter straight. They'll follow. See, some people are leaders and some people are followers. Some folk, if you can convince them to be on board, their little group will be on board with them. Because they just follow us. Some folk follow the wrong people, but they still follow us. So let me help Peter examine himself and get Peter back on track. And if Peter is back on track, then all the rest of them are going to be back on track as well. That's what Luke 22 is all about. He says, Satan wants you. He wants to sift you like wheat. So when you are converted, you strengthen them. Because see, you have a stronger qualities than them. Because anytime you follow somebody that's fallen, you're worse than them. Amen. That's like hiding behind a hypocrite. Well, the reason I won't come to church, because there are hypocrites there. Well, you're a bigger hypocrite. Anytime you're going to select a hypocrite in the church to use an excuse for not coming to church, something wrong with you. Jesus talked about the blind leading the blind, how they both shall fall in the ditch. So he wanted them to understand that if you're going to be a shepherd, you got to act like me. I've set an example, and you ought to follow in my footsteps. Do you love me? If you love me, feed the sheep. You can't get all caught up in your own issues. You ought to be past some stuff in your life. You're no good to these folk because you're struggling yourself. If you're weak, how are you going to help them to be strong? Then, of course, verse 19 on down, he just told them, look, follow me. In other words, You need to be a disciple. He mentions he saw John, another disciple. See, realize you are disciples. You are learners and followers. I don't care if you're successful in being a fisherman. I don't care if you're successful in being a shepherd. You will always be a disciple of Jesus Christ. What's that? A learner and a follower of Jesus. So even when you fall, keep learning and keep following. Never take your eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. So he wanted to know, do you love me? If you love me, you need to be about my business. Because remember, even when Jesus was young, around 12, when he was 30. But you remember when he went to Jerusalem, his parents looking for him, he was in there conversing with the doctors of the law. And he told his mother, know you not that I must be about what? My father's business. In other words, he wasn't being disrespectful. But I'm here for a purpose. And this purpose that I'm here for is greater than Joseph and Mary. They are vehicles that God used to bring me in or bring me up. But my purpose here is not limited to Mary and Joseph. God called me to a greater calling. He was trying to help her to understand that, amen. So Jesus asked that question. Do you love me more than these? You're going to have to be restored, Peter. You got to deal with this thing that's going on in your heart, struggling with 100% total commitment to me. One time he said, when they was arguing about who's going to be on the right and who's going to be on the left, and Peter talked about, Jesus told them, you're going to be baptized with the baptism I'll be baptized with. And you're going to drink of the cup of suffering that I drink with. And historians tell us that Peter was crucified upside down. He makes references to it in the text. The Bible says he has signified by how he should die. There's going to come a time they're going to stretch you out. They're going to lead you about. You're not going to have any say-so. They take you places where you don't want to go. He signified how he's going to die. And history tells us that he did. He was crucified. One scholar even indicated the reason he was crucified upside down because he didn't think he was worthy to die right side up like Jesus did. So Jesus wants to rekindle his fervor. Every once in a while, church, we need to have our zeal restored. Sometimes we allow the past mistakes that we have made to keep us from being excited about the Lord. Amen, somebody. Sometimes stuff happens and the fire begins to wear off. The excitement wears off. The love wears off. And you're just in it trying to fake it till you make it. But deep down in your heart, you feel like you're locked into this thing, but you really don't want to be here. Y'all done made me one of the apostles, and I really just want to be a fisherman. Let us deal with that inner struggle that you're dealing with, Peter, because we can't go any further until you make a commitment right now for me. You see, Jesus has always been and has always demanded that you make a choice. He says in Matthew 12, and verse number 30, he either with me or against me. And he that is not with me scattereth abroad. So Jesus wants us to make a decision. He told the Laodiceans, you're neither hot nor cold, but you are lukewarm. Well, I wish you were. I wish you could be one or the other. And stop just pretending and riding the fence and trying to stay in the middle. Because I need to know who I can count on and what I can work with. I need to know, are you for it or against it? That's what I need to know. So Peter, you got to make up your mind right now. Stop saying one thing and doing something else. Do you love me? Get busy. Show me you love me like I showed you I love you. Make some sacrifices for me. That's why we tell people, if Jesus thought enough of you to die for you, then you ought to think enough for him to live for him. Amen. And even to the point of death. John said, be thou faithful unto death.
See, these men can talk because they lived it. Be thou faithful unto death. Unto death. Not until you die, but unto death. Even you have to die for what you believe. See, you never know if you really believe it until your life is on the line. See, if there's no pressure and your back is not up against the wall, you can tell what people really believe when their back is up against the wall. At this time, Peter was saying, I'm a leader in the apostles. I'm in leadership role. I'm leading the group and all that. But when his back got up against the wall, he started denying Jesus, cursing and swearing that he didn't know the Lord. What was wrong with him? Something was going on in his spirit that they didn't know about. He'd been faking it all this time. And sometimes we can do that. We can be faking it until our back is up against the wall and now the real us come out. I'm not mad, I'm just preaching, all right? So he wants to rekindle his fervor. Do you love me? Every once in a while, they ask somebody, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? If you love Jesus, the answer is clear. We don't have to keep going back and forth over this. Do you love Jesus? If you love Jesus and I love Jesus, the answer to this problem, we create problems and make mountains out of molehills. But the bottom line is that we don't love Jesus. Let's do a roll call. If you love Jesus, church coming will be no problem. It won't be no problem. If you love, do you love your occupation more than Jesus? Well, let me ask you a question. Are you at work on time every day? And you might even say, well, I don't really love my job. I got to be there. But when you love Jesus, being late is not an option. Missing is not an option. When you love Jesus, I'm going to shake somebody. I know it. But if you love, stop talking about you love me and show me you love me. If you love Jesus, you ought to be out there sharing me with somebody. You ought to be telling your friends and your family and everybody you know about Jesus and how he's blessing your life. Everybody out here, the word Jesus coming off your lips, if you love me. You know, when you're in love with something, you remember when you was in love with that woman? Or in love with that man? And it may not be the one you're married to. But anyway, I'm trying to make a point here. You know, when you were in love, you just want to tell everybody, boy, man, I found the right one. Look at these pictures. Her name is, his name is. You go around, you're just all excited, telling everybody. Why? Because you was in love. When that love start wearing off, you don't want to wear your ring no more. Somebody know what I'm talking about. The same thing is true when it comes to Jesus. And I know we don't want to connect it to that because we get insulted if somebody would suggest that we don't love Jesus. But Jesus has given us a remedy here, how you can detect when you don't love Jesus and you can detect how other folk don't love Jesus and by everything that we do or don't do for Jesus. But yet we talk that talk. But we don't do what we supposed to do. And so he offers this question because he wants Peter to examine himself. Peter looks the Lord in the eye and says, Lord, you know that I love you. Do I? You can't put words in the Lord's mouth. You know I love you. Do I? I hear the words coming out your mouth, but I'm watching what you do. Jesus said, if you love me, Peter, get busy doing what I've commanded you to do. See, love is meaningless unless it is shown. I mean, it's good to say I love you. It's good to say I love you. It's good. And you ought to say it. But would you like to see Sister Thomas some bacon and eggs and some bills paid? Like Dr. Lawton said one time, he was doing a marriage seminar. He said, you know, perfume smells good. We need to smell some bacon and eggs every once in a while. Amen, somebody. It goes just a little further than saying it. Some action needs to take place. He expects us to be obedient to his word. He said, I want you to feed the sheep. I want you to be concerned about those who are lost. And I want you to love the brethren and love the church. Evidently, Peter got it, because you remember over there in 1 Peter, as I wind this thing down, in 1 Peter chapter 1, some 30 years later, Peter says these words. Peter says, he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse number 13, it says, wherefore, gird up your loins of your minds, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children. He got that thing down pat. You need to be, it's not just saying it, you need to be obedient. It's easy to say, I love the Lord, I love the church, I support the church. But you're not here. Your name not on the roll when it comes time to give. Your action says you don't. Amen, somebody. You can't say Brother Goodman's a great man in here and he's a no good dog out there. Actions show that you don't. So it says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. How are you talking about that, Peter? Because I know. I reverted back to what I was before I met Jesus. The former lust. Go back and fish and make that money. But Jesus made me choose. Do you love these fish more than you love me? He said, I was ignorant. So we need to be careful of ignorance. Every once in a while we get ignorant, church. Yeah. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all conversation or matter of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy. Yeah. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's works, pass the time of your sojourn here in fear. For as much as you know that we are not redeemed by corruptible things, as silver and gold are for your vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus as the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was afore ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope should be who? In God. Seeing then that you purify your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit of unfeigned love of the... I think he got the message. I think this was a turning point for Peter. And every once in a while you come to a crossroads. You say, you know what? I got to make a decision here. I got to make a decision here. Sometimes we need to be confronted with making a decision. We live in a land where we want to try to excuse ourselves from being committed to God. We want to make excuses for non-performance. Got reasons why I can't. But Jesus had to pull up and say, look, you got to make a decision right now. Evidently, he got it. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as a flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth away, or falleth away. But the word of the Lord endures how long? And this is the word by which the gospel, he started standing on the word of God and preaching the word of God. So we see the nature of the question, Peter's answer to the question. And of course, he challenges us with the question. And everybody ought to be challenged. Are you sure you love Jesus? And you only can answer that question for yourself. Don't be looking around trying to figure out the answer for somebody else. You only can ask yourself, am I sure?
Am I faking it till I make it? Am I just going through the motions? Do I just have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof? Or do I really love the Lord Jesus Christ? And the good news is that even when we make mistakes, he loves us so much that he gives us another chance. Isn't he a good God? He challenges us. The easy answer would be, well, you know I love the Lord. You know I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Do I love the Lord? If what you're saying is true, Brother Goodman, that if I love the Lord, I will show the Lord. And stop using the excuse, I don't have to prove nothing to nobody. Yes, you do. You need to show the Lord by serving his church. There's a whole lot of folk watching you to see if you love him. There's no fatherhood without brotherhood. You can't ignore these folk here and have a relationship with God. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. Be concerned about the sheep. Make sure the sheep get the food that they need. Make sure they get the nourishment that they need. Make sure they get all the stuff that they need because they are important to me. So the question is, what is important to you? That's why we say that whenever it's given time, we in our prayer say we support the cause of Christ, the greatest institution known to man. There is no other organization in the world Jesus died for than the Church of Christ. That's why it rubs me the wrong way when people are like, the church not important. It was important enough for God to send on, he only had one son, and he sent his son. He lived his whole life sinless that he might die for an organization that if we live right, one day we will spend eternity with God. There is no organization in the face of the world, in your history books or in your view, that you can see or read about that will go to heaven when the Lord comes back. Amen, somebody. You work for the hospital? There will be no hospitals in heaven. You work for the school system? There will be no school systems in heaven. You work for the trucking company? There will be no trucking companies in heaven. You work for the city? There will be, well, there'd be a city, but there'd be no city police. There'd be no crime. There'd be no bills when we get to heaven. But the only organization in the world that's going to transcend this world is the Church of Christ. So you still believe the church not important? You can't go to heaven without first coming through the church. I think it's utmost important. It is the most important institution in the world. The world don't think so. Some church folk don't believe that. But still we need to be reminded that there will be nobody in heaven without first going through the church. Oh, the challenge is there. Don't give no easy answer. Yeah, I love the Lord. Just walk away. We have to show that we love him. And if there's some deep issues that we have, and when we look back over our lives, we know that these deep issues are what's been keeping us from truly serving and working in the church. Peter could have done much more, but he had some hang-ups. And even though he preached the first gospel sermon, I dare to even say it, that they still had some issues. Because for the first 8-9 years in the church, there was only Jews in the church. He said, let me deal with Peter. Peter, by the time we get to Acts chapter 10, Peter, I want you to go up to Caesarea. There's a man, a centurion there by the name of Cornelius, a Gentile. What, Gentile? I don't fellowship with Gentiles. That's your problem. You're in the church, but you still got some issues. So it's going to limit you, Peter. Okay, Paul don't mind dealing with Gentile. Paul, I'll go. I don't have a problem with it. I'll go down there. So Paul was able to be you. Peter wrote what? 1 and 2 Peter. That's all. John wrote more. St. John. First, Second, and Third John, and the book of Revelation. See, when your heart is open to God and you're really trying to live for God and let God use you, God can do more through you. Yeah. Here the Apostle Paul was wide open to be used. Yeah. Wrote 14 books of the New Testament. Yes, now, we're not saying that God is necessarily a respected person, but we do know God wants his will done. If it means working around you to get the job done, if it means replacing you to get the job done, whatever it takes to get the job, God is more concerned about the kingdom than any one of us. One monkey don't stop no show. Jesus said, do you love me? See, if you won't do for me, it reflects your love for me. It don't have anything to do with whose idea it was. It don't have anything to do with who the preacher is. Well, when we get a new preacher, I'll start working. I ain't planning on quitting. I plan on retiring. So you're going to wait another 15 years before you start working for the Lord? But that's not a problem with me because everybody loves me. In other words, what we do for the kingdom of God has everything to do with our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love me? You say, yes. Well, get over your issues and start working for me. Stop letting your issues, and I put this lesson together as I close, I kept thinking about it, and I shared it with you several times. That probably been plenty of times in my ministry where I felt like quitting. I remember those days being in the storefront, man. You ride down, because I was living in Baltimore, you ride down, come down to Annapolis, I'm all fired up, ready to preach, there ain't nobody here. I'm thinking, why am I, after 2 or 3 weeks in a row, you'd be wondering if you got a church. You say, well, what in the world? Man, I'm doing all this studying. They won't come listen to it. Coming should be the easy part. And then as time go on, you know, you get a few rebellious members or you get some folk that lie on you or some folk don't like you or folk do stuff behind your back. Folk, you know, look, that has to be an easier way. There has to be some other things I can do. Other than preach in the city of Annapolis. I never heard of Annapolis. Never been to Annapolis before in my life. What? I'm just giving my own testimony here. Nothing, you all got some kind of testimony that whenever you're dealing with people, you're going to have some problems. There's always going to be some folk to cause problems for you, but do you love Jesus? If you love Jesus, then you got to look past all those folk. You got to do what? Feed the sheep. Folk just need to be fed. They need to grow out of foolishness. They need the word of God in their lives. The word of God is a cure-all. So you don't look at folk and say they got some problem, you stay away from them. No, they need the word. The word is designed to change their lives. Amen. And if you love Jesus, you'll feed them. Don't criticize them. Feed them. I don't know what's wrong with Brother Davis, brother. Feed them. I don't know what's wrong with them. Feed them. Yes, if you love them, feed them. Yes, you don't want to feed them, you don't love them. Right. He challenges Peter. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Look after the flock. Any older siblings in the audience? Well, maybe you got some of your older siblings. Now, when your mom and dad leave, what did they tell you? Huh? Watch the children. It's her job. Pray. Thank you, sister. And some of y'all still the oldest. When mom and dad go to work or wherever they go, is the oldest one, Sister Kane? It's your job. You're responsible for making sure they eat, get a bath, do the homework. It's almost like you're the second mama. Jesus left us with the church. The older members are to be feeding folk. The older siblings are to take care of the younger siblings. You consider yourself mature? Feed somebody. Who are you feeding? Now, it's possible for you to grow up and be a big old grown fella and still sit around talking about what we're going to eat for dinner. When you ought to be feeding somebody. Or should have your own spot. Your own refrigerator. Your own groceries. Help me somebody. But we don't matriculate to maturity like we should.
If you've been in the church any length of time, you ought to be in a position to feed somebody, to help somebody else in the church grow to maturity. That's how you show your love for Jesus. It goes beyond. I love the church because I come. Well, it should go beyond just coming. Coming should be the easy part. We ought to be willing to feed somebody and help somebody know God. Amen, somebody. Amen. Now, I know this lesson was for the church, but if you're here, you're not a member of the church. We want you to be a member of the Lord's church, and you've become a member this morning. You've heard the word. Do you believe it with all your heart? Are you willing to repent of your sins? Confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Be baptized for all your sins to be washed away. Regardless of what you've done in the past, God can forgive you and give you a fresh start. And even if you're in the church and you mess up every once in a while you just mess up. Like Peter, put your foot in your mouth. Maybe you cursed at somebody this week and you regret it. You wish you could take it back, but you can't. Well, you just go to them, tell them you're sorry, and if other folk heard it, they come down, ask the church to forgive you, and from now on, you're going to do better. And if you sincerely repent, Jesus says, I will forgive you. And I won't bring it up tomorrow. That's the goodness of forgiveness. He will forgive you whatever you've done. Peter got forgiveness. I wish Judas would have had enough sense. Instead of going off hanging himself, just come back and say, I'm sorry. Because he must forgot that Jesus forgives. Just like he forgave Peter for cursing, swearing, and lying, he can forgive Judas for betrayal. Because that's what shepherds do. They love the sheep. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Every one of us have turned to our own lust and our own way. But he said, we are returned to the bishop of our soul. Jesus is concerned about your soul. So it doesn't matter what we have done. We ought to come back to Jesus. So whether you're a member or not, we encourage you to come to Jesus. Show